Hey everyone, and welcome to the South Carolina Grower Exchange Podcast. Every week, agents, specialists, and growers from around the state chat about what's happening in the field and discuss the latest crop weather, insect, disease, and weed issues, as well as timely reminders and information related to fruit and vegetable production in South Carolina. Remember, you can read weekly field updates and register for upcoming events by visiting the SC Grower blog at scgrower.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 2024, and this is our first episode of the South Carolina Grower Exchange for the year. Hope everybody had a nice holiday season, got a little bit of rest before you kicked it into high gear for the growing season. So we're just going to jump right back into our weekly field updates for you. This morning, it was suggested that maybe we should go in age order to celebrate Rob, who had a birthday yesterday, which means that he's the oldest one of the recording today. Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you, Sarah. So, yeah, we're starting to get some spring plantings going on of leafy greens in the area. Bed preparations are also going on at full pace. Just keep an eye on soil moisture as we're working through and keep an eye on those temperatures for pre-emergence herbicides as well. Overall, crops are looking pretty good. We are seeing some increases in black rot to the brassicas. That's the bacterial disease that comes in with transplants and seeds. So just keep an eye on that. And there's very little we can actually do for black rot in the field once it's established, other than hygiene pre-planting. Strawberry crops are looking pretty good. I'm beginning to get some questions about pushing fertilizer to those crops. So typically, once we begin to push fertilizer, we're about 6 weeks away from harvest. My advice would always be to work back from your desired first harvest date and then come back to six weeks. So if we start pushing fertilizer this week, we're going to be looking at potentially the first harvest around mid-March, which is a little bit early and going to cause us some issues with freeze protection. However, that being said, it's a good time to check all your fertigation equipment and make sure you've got your fertilizer sourced and on-site ready to go in the next few weeks. Once we begin fertigation, we're going to be looking to deliver 1 pound of nitrogen and potassium on a daily basis. So that's 7 pounds a week. And after the first week of fertigation applications, we're going to be looking at taking a tissue test to assess those nutrient levels coming out of the winter. And that will give us an opportunity to assess boron, manganese, magnesium as well while we're at it. So there's no rush right now. Pushing right now could lead to more damage than is actually necessary. But that about covers it from me, Sarah. Oh, one final thing. Just remember that we do have the fertigation calculators on the Clemson Precision Agriculture website. And that's a really easy calculator to use and available on both cell phones and the laptop. So you can do these calculations in the field to make it easier for you. So I think that covers it for me.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Rob. And I just to touch on that, something probably that maybe several of us will have in our weekly update. I've seen a lot of deer damage. And I feel like that's probably one of the things that comes up is, oh man, my plants are gone and I'm really going to need to, I'll just push the fertilizer to help them plump back up since the deer ate them all. So something to keep in mind. Still don't want to push it this early, right?
I'd certainly be very cautious about pushing this early. Particularly in our area of the Midlands. If you're out on the coastal islands, then you're probably looking at pushing a little bit earlier because you're less likely to get those low temperatures.
Right. All right. Great. Thanks, Rob. And happy birthday.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right. So as far as Edgefield, Aiken area, we are starting to really ramp up our peach season already. We're doing all sorts of things. We've got new trees going in. We've got orchard floor management sprays going in. Mostly 2,4-D is what we're looking at putting out. Depending on if you have a cover crop or if you just have you know, native grasses and broadleaf weeds coming up will kind of alter if you do any tank mixes with that 2,4-D, but also putting out our oil sprays. It's for optimum care. We want to put out two separate oil sprays. I mean, one is good, but two is ideal. So we're putting those out, trying to get in between the weather. We've had a lot of wind lately and a lot of rain, not heavy rains necessarily, but just rain enough to get the foliage wet. So not ideal conditions to spray. So we're trying to get those oil sprays and copper out with those oils, as well as still putting out some of our treatments for peach tree borers, still in a pruning phase as well. Got lots of pruning going on now. So again, peach season is just kind of ramped up and all those things happening all at once. Strawberries, like I mentioned, seeing a lot of deer damage this year, maybe a little bit more than in the past. Not really sure what that's about, unless people just didn't get their fencing up quite early enough, but overall looking pretty good. I'm seeing a little bit of lesions on some of those leaves coming up, so we've sent a few samples off to the lab just to get confirmation on what that might be, but overall again looking pretty good. And then I think next on the age list is Zach. What's happening in your area this week?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I was going to ask why you were going second, so anyway. You know, I got to give you a hard time.
Age appropriate. It's okay. Yes, I own all of my 36 years.
Yep. Well, it's great. In the low country, we got some pretty nasty winds and rain last night coming through, a lot worse than some of the tropical storms that we've had during the summers and falls. So that brought some rain. We needed a little bit of rain. Seeing a lot of brassicas lately that are real purple and just kind of look real rough. And I think a lot of that's probably due to the cold, wet soils that we have and the plants just not taking up phosphorus. So I get a couple of calls about that a week. But, you know, if you have purpling of leaves and it's cold outside, the phosphorus is there, but the plants just aren't taking it up. Strawberry-wise, we're all over the board. Overall, I'm not entirely happy with the strawberries. Folks that did bare root cutoff plantings, I'm just seeing a lot of skips, a lot of really tiny plants that got buried. I can't say it enough. You know, deer are one thing that we need to focus on. The second thing is staying on the planting crews. In some places, they just didn't do a good job. And, you know, we're probably at 50% plant mortality in some of those fields. So, you know, then you got to ask yourself, you know, is it worth managing the rest of them? Because the ones that are living, you know, were buried too deep. And so they're never going to grow and really produce like they should. I'm seeing a lot of lesions or leaf spots on strawberries in every field that I go to. We are going to send some samples to the lab. It could be the new disease neopest, or it could be nomia. But definitely those leaf lesions in the last 2 years have really picked up for us. I didn't remember used to seeing those at all, and now every field I go to I see them. Some fields are worse than others. Crown wise, we're anywhere from one fat crown to four little crowns on our plants, but you know, like Rob said, I keep getting asked, is it time to push them, should I give them a little fertilizer? And I just think that right now it's a little too early. Our plants are a little too small right now. You know, you don't want to push a little plant with little tiny crowns to produce fruit, because it you know, will never yield like it should. Next week, around Valentine's Day, is when I always recommend a boron application for growers. That helps with fruit flower development. So within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be starting eventually to save these blooms and giving them a little boron. We need to give them an eighth of a pound to a quarter of a pound of actual boron, either foliarly or via drip. And I'll post it next week on SC Grower, that little calculation, depending on what product you use. But that's really important so you don't get ugly, kind of distorted looking fruit. The last thing I wanted to talk about was blueberries. Our high bush blueberries are have bloomed and have set fruit. Some of them are still blooming and our rabbit eye are starting to bloom. Make sure you get out and prune your blueberries. If you have limbs or fruiting branches that are matchstick size, the size of a matchstick, those are going to produce really undesirable small fruit. You'll have a million little grainy fruit. So get in there and really be mean to them. Prune those out. You want to, you know, have new wood ideally producing the blooms. You're going to get larger berries, you get high quality berries, and you're going to be a lot more impressed with your end product. So be mean to them. It looks like you're pruning out a lot and throwing away a lot of yield, but really at the end of the day, you're just taking that energy and putting it into other fruit. And the same thing is true with the strawberries as it relates to crown size. You know, thinning some out and allowing them to grow really helps that plant to produce at its max potential. Other than that, that's about it. Because I talked a lot about berries, I think I did a very good job explaining that. So back to you, Sarah.
That's funny, Zach. Zach gets extra points for all the dad jokes. All right. And then last and youngest of the group today for an update. Lucky you, Justin.
Ah, thank you, Sarah. It's good to be the youngest in the group. two things I'll talk about. First is our little citrus trial that we have going at Sandhill. Again, we're looking at cold tolerance and several varieties that we think could be suitable for the Midlands. We have seen about 15 days below freezing temperatures or 15 nights below freezing temperatures at Sandhill so far, the coldest of which was January 21st. We hit 15.1 degrees. I don't have any data on how long it stayed that cold, but that's pretty brisk. So our trees are showing a little bit of cold damage there. We did have some leaf roll in the mornings following that. And since then, the trees have dropped some leaves, and some of the leaves that didn't drop are definitely showing some cold damage burn. But we won't know the full extent of that damage for several more months. So we're going to keep monitoring those trees and see how they do. The other big thing is we just finished planting 4 acres of pecans at the Sandhill Rec. That's the first new planting of pecans we've had in like 40 years, I think. The last trees planted there at Sandhill were really old. So these are some new varieties. We planted 8 new varieties, 6 of which we believe have good scab resistance. 2 are older varieties that were claimed to be scab resistant when they were first introduced, and that resistance has since started slipping. So we're going to compare these newer ones to the older ones and see how they look here in the Midlands of South Carolina. We did do 2 different row spacings. On about half of the field, we did a 60 by 30 spacing, which is a newer one that some growers in Georgia and some other major pecan areas are trying. And then the other half of the field, we did the standard 40 foot by 40 foot spacing. So we wanted to have a look at both of those as far as yield and disease resistance. We will be showing off that new pecan planting next week at our South Carolina Small Fruit Growers meeting at Sandhill. That'll be Thursday. So yeah, come and take a look at them. That's about it for me right now.
Great. Thanks, Justin, for that. And so another thing that we're going to do for 2024 is kind of talk about, we're going to pick one of our questions of the week from the blog. We get interesting pictures from agents and sometimes from growers or clients. And if you're not familiar with the blog, scroll to the end of the weekly posting, and there's usually some cool photo of something, a little quiz for everybody. So we thought that we would mention our favorite and share that answer with you. So Justin, what was your pick for the question of the week to share?
All right, this one, it was a unanimous decision among our agents which one to cover for today. This was the jelly fungus photo that we posted on January 25th. That photo came to us from Mallory Marr, who's a Clemson Natural Resources associate. Jelly fungus is pretty nasty looking, pretty gooey. If you've ever been out collecting firewood for your campfire, you've probably accidentally stuck your hand in some jelly fungus before. But it's kind of similar to lichen in that it grows on dead or dying trees, on branches that may be on the ground, anything like that. When it's moist outside, it'll swell up and get that really nasty texture to it. And if the air is a little drier, it'll shrink and dry up a little bit. But while this is an indicator of poor tree health, it's definitely not causing the tree any harm. It's just there because it's a good place to grow. So a cool picture, not a ton of information out there about jelly fungus. It's kind of the same three sentences over and over and over while I was researching for that photo, but pretty cool. Go out and look for some in the woods.
I'll add an extra fun fact to that. Lichen and jelly fungus, even though there's signs of stagnant or dying growth, they're also a sign of good air quality. So put a positive spin on it. Your tree's dying, but you got good air.
But breathe easy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining in with us today. Thank you to the agents for your updates. And we hope that you'll continue to tune in with us for 2024. We've got some fun things that we're switching it up with in the coming year. So we hope you'll tune in. Have a good one.